Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Boy, what a day we're living in. We have got to be close to the Lord in these hours. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And everybody underline that word perilous. That perilous word in the Greek means fierce, violent, hostile, given to fighting or killing, angry, cruel, dangerous, and wild, and cutthroat. How many know we're living in dangerous times? We're living in dangerous times of where we're being pit against each other, racial wars, gender wars. And if you know anything about the New World Order, the New World Religion, this is all planned. This is a lot of chaos. This is meant to bring down our economy, bring down, get us all united in a one world government, one world religion, one world currency. And so we have to know what's coming. And we're not scared because God's going to be with us, but we also have to be watchful. We have to be awake. We can't be deceived in this hour. And there's so many church people that are in danger right now because they are not wanting to hear what the watchmen are saying, because the watchmen are watching, and sometimes they have to tell things that people don't want to hear. And the Bible says that in the end times, the people are going to gather to themselves teachers that will itch and scratch their itches. So we have to make sure that we want a balanced diet from the Lord. We don't want just sugar. We don't want a lot of snacks. We want what God wants us to have, and sometimes that's spinach. Sometimes that means kale. Means we want to spit it out, and God will put it back in your mouth. But we have to know truth, and God has always sent people to tell us truth, but we have to have ears to want to hear what he's saying. So he's letting us know that in the end times, there's going to be perilous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, this is the first sin that's ever been committed. It was by Lucifer. We're going to share that in just a minute. But the sin of self-love. Now we even have what we know as selfies. Everyone's taking self. Everything's about self. And God knew this even before everything. He let us know the sign of the end times is going to be the sin of selfishness. And then as a result of selfishness, that one sin, being so absorbed with ourselves, all the other sins come after that. Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemies, disobedience to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. God's also warned us in these end times there's going to be persecution for the believers that stand that Jesus is the only way. As we know, the many cultures that are coming together, the many paths lead to God, which is a false doctrine, false demons. But if you stand for the way, the truth, and the life, there's persecution coming, and they're going to call you haters. They're going to call you all sorts of names. But, you know, we have to expect this, and we have to prepare for it. Amen. "Despisers of those that are good, so they call evil good and good evil. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." So now we're getting our churches entertainment centers. We're getting them full of bands and worship. And remember, Satan's number one goal is to be worshiped. So he wants to draw the worship away from God unto himself. He said, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." What are we supposed to do? Join? From such, what? Turn away. Turn away. And I've been preaching on this. Come out from amongst them. And this is not a real popular message, but God has always wanted a people that were holy, and he's always wanted a separated people. He's always wanted a remnant unto himself. The masses are not going to be part of the remnant. A lot of them are going into deception now. We're seeing a lot of churches compromising anything to get the numbers, and they get the numbers, but God's left. Ichabod is over their door. The presence of God is no longer there, and that's what we want. We want God. We want his presence. We want to say what God wants us to say, not to add to it or take away from it. There's a real warning for those that add to or take away from the Bible. So perilous times are coming. The leading the list of 2 Timothy 3:1 is the sin of self-love. Self-love, people are absorbed with themselves. Scoffers, boastful, arrogant, and conceited. Self-centered. Now, another word, it's not in the Bible, but it's all these combinations. Today, we'd call it the spirit of narcissism. I want to talk a little bit about narcissism today because we are living in a culture of narcissism. Self-love, all people think about is themselves. And unfortunately, the churches have taught how to get ahead, how to be successful. It's all about your dream. And it's all taken away from the real reason why we're here is to serve God and be obedient to what He says, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. We've got these preachers that are teaching us it's how great we are, and we are as gods, and whatever we say we can have, and it's totally become an antichrist system. And as a result, you see where the devil's going to come. In the end times, one of my favorite preachers always said, it's going to come in the charismatic movement. Antichrist will come through that arena because it's religious, and everything goes. There's no discernment. Just pull the God card, and deceived, naive believers will think it's God. But no, true Christians, you know you have to test everything. Try the spirits to see if they're of God, because there are many spirits that are not of God parading around. And so we have to know what they are. We have to resist them and also turn from them, as it says. But narcissism is the abnormal love of self. Everyone say abnormal. So it's not normal. And you're going to see this more and more in the culture that is coming and the way that some of these young people are rising up. It's all about them. Everything is selfish, self-centered, to a fault. Narcissism is about self, but Christianity is all about God. Narcissism is all about me. In fact, there was a song, I Did It My Way. That song's always grieved me, and I just copied one thing down. For what is a man, what has he got, if not himself? Then he has not. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. And that's the way the world is. And that's why the Bible says if you're friends of the world, you're an enemy of God. So we have to know, are you going to be a friend of the world? Or an enemy of God, because that's what's going to determine in the end times of where your loyalty is with the world. And the Bible says, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So now we've got a bunch of churches that are mixing the world in their churches. And they think that's okay, but it's not okay, because we are still on God's standard and not our own. But the narcissists are self-absorbed manipulators. And why I want to talk about that today is because there's narcissism in tons of churches today. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to experience narcissists. In fact, I have experienced all the narcissists I've ever experienced in church. Preachers. Leaders. This is where I got my training on narcissists, was through the church. And so I want to talk and expose some of this, because this narcissism doesn't have a good ending. It might look like they're fine now. They might be building their kingdoms now. Everything might look great now, but there's a coming, a time. God says they have a slippery slope. God resists the proud. He brings down the haughty, the arrogant, the boastful. It doesn't happen in a day. But you that are, in those that are listening and are by YouTube and that, you have to know, you got to leave some of this in God's hands, because God will take care of them. You cannot come against God's anointed and in all these narcissistic spirits without a battle, but in the end, God wins. And you have to remember, vengeance belongs to the Lord. There's so much abuse going on. The emails we get from, and I've done a couple other messages on narcissism, look those up on YouTube, Narcissism in the Church, and I forget the other one, but those are our two most highly viewed YouTubes. That just shows me what the need is. The need out there is people are looking for help from narcissistic abuse, being controlled by these self-absorbed leaders who are using believers that have good hearts, that have good motives, that they come in, they get saved, they want to do whatever God wants, and these narcissistic leaders, and we're going to share Bible examples today about this, that take them for granted. They use them for their own means, and then they discard them. They discard them like a paper towel. Next. And that's not God. It's not his system. It's not the way God set things up. But you have to know the devil is still here. And he wants to mix in with Christianity. So we have to know there's certain things God's calling us to come out of. He doesn't want you to be abused. Do you know that? So the narcissism personality disorder, that's another whole thing, and I've went in on it on other YouTubes. I don't want to get into all of that, but I do want to just hit some points because I want to get into some Bible characters that we see. This is not new. It's always been there. These type of power-hungry, prideful people are in our governments. They're in our schools. They're in our workplace. They're in our homes. Everywhere we go, we are going to face these spirits, and we have to know that God's going to resist them, and then we also have to know we are not called to be doormats, because these narcissistic leaders will abuse you in the name of God, in the name of faith, and tell you you don't have any faith if you challenge their prideful, arrogant, mean, abusive ways. So they're self-absorbed manipulators and abusers who are cold and cruel. These false prophets that are arising are narcissistic. They have no empathy. That means they cannot feel what you are feeling. They can hurt you and abuse you and use you and have no feelings about it. I've always looked at some of these leaders and I'm like, don't you care about these people? True shepherds, true leaders hurt when you hurt. The Bible says we're supposed to weep with those that these people are cold. They're hard-hearted. They just use you and throw you away. They really don't care what happens to you. That's not God's shepherds. The real true shepherd will seek you out. If you're hurting, they will mend your wounds. They'll do the best they can. And unfortunately, a lot of these good pastors have been abused by these narcissistic people. And they're also in the churches, in the congregation. So they lack empathy. It's one of the number one things about these kind of people. They have no compassion or sincerity. I mean, they just can't feel pain or sensitive or compassion. They're missing. It's just something that's missing in them. How can people kill people and not care? Well, maybe they aren't shooting them with guns, but they do it with their personalities. They do it in their workplace. They steal your jobs. They take the credit for everything. They're just cold. Do you know what I'm saying? They are preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success and power and requires excessive admiration. They see people as objects. Objects to be used and thrown away when no longer needed. The sin of self-love, let's look at this for just a second, is the sin of selfishness. The sin that self rules everything and everyone else takes second place. Self-love makes a name for itself and it builds monuments unto themselves. Look at Absalom. He built monuments. These narcissistic people love their names on everything. They like to build things for themselves. We're not here to build kingdoms for ourselves. We're here to build God's kingdom. Amen. We are not here to get glory for ourselves. These narcissistic people are glory hogs. They want all the glory. They want all the praise. But self-love is the worst sin of all because it was the first sin committed in the universe. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, we see the fall of Lucifer. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. Now think about that. Nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Talk about arrogance. You see God and you say, I can be like that. So pride was found and formed in Lucifer. It was never here before. So it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now we hear certain people preaching there is no hell. There is a hell. You can say there is no hell all they want. They're preaching, oh, hell is now on earth. What you go through now is hell. This earth is the only hell we'll ever know if we're born again Christians walking for the Lord. But people that aren't, this is the only heaven they're going to see. Because there is a judgment coming for those that reject Jesus. So the devil's sin, the first sin, was self-love, a mighty angel who led the choir in heaven. So why do you think our music is so tainted today? Because the devil wants to gain control of the music. Preachers back in the 70s were paid $8 million to put rock music in their churches to get rid of the glory music. Mm-hmm. Preachers are being paid off to get rid of the anointing to put entertainment in its place. I won't have any part of it. I don't know about you. Many people are standing in line for their paychecks. You say, how do you know? Because you can see the compromises in the churches. But he was an angel who led choir in the heaven. He still wants to lead. He still wants the glory. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, what did he say to Jesus at his weakest moment? Fall down and worship me. He desires worship. And that's why narcissistic people, they desire that same thing. They want to be put up on a pedestal. They want to be worshiped. They want to be adored. But we found out that no flesh shall glory in God's presence. The true ministers of God don't want the glory. They're only signposts to point you to him. False preachers point you to them. They want you to be a part of their fan club. They want you to worship them. And one thing you got to learn right off, men fall. Men make mistakes. So don't put any preacher on a pedestal because they'll fall off. The only one we can worship is God. Amen. And that's why it's so important. Many people have been hurt in churches. You're going to be hurt in churches because there's humans there. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Saint watching is very dangerous. Amen. So we see that he's still wanting to be worshiped. His heart filled with pride, and he convinced himself that he was greater than God. Think about deception. These narcissists, they get to start this superiority thing of, and we're gonna see some Bible examples today of how they think that they can outsmart God. And even the devil now and his plans and all this whole new world order, this new religion, they think they're going to outsmart God. But God tells us in this Bible, in the book of Revelation, all this stuff is going to happen. There's going to be a war against the saints. He's preparing us. Some people say we're just going to be totally out of here. Well, you know what? None of us know for sure, but I know some people in different countries that are getting their heads chopped off now. Yeah. And you say, well, that's never going to happen here. But they didn't probably think it was ever going to happen there. So what does that mean? We prepare and walk with God no matter what happens because we are here to please him. But if you have preachers that are putting you to sleep and telling you nothing ever bad's going to happen to America, I see stuff bad happening to America weekly. The America that we live in now is no longer a Christian nation. Do you know that? Things are changing. So here we see that Satan wanted to be like God, and then Adam sinned by disobeying God. His heart became corrupt, and now we have a whole human race that's only concerned about themselves. So we get born again, and the first thing God tells his disciples is that you have to what? Deny that self. Don't put yourself up on the throne. You've got to deny yourself, and that's the battle. And I want to go through just a couple things about narcissism. This is a narcissism. Narcissists expose 75 things narcissists don't want you to know by Drew Keyes. I've had this book, and I just pull it out as needed. But a couple of things I wanted to say. Narcissists, and this is, we are living in a culture of narcissism, of people that are out for themselves. They want to do it their own way. How are narcissists born? And I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but this isn't from the book. It's just notes that I've plastered in here. It's an internal response to childhood wounding. Many people are traumatized, and so they get hard. They get really hard-souled, and they don't want anyone to hurt them again, so they end up being manipulators and controllers, schemers, tricksters. They want what they want the way they want it because they don't trust anyone. Their little hearts were broken, so sad, when they were little. Or internal response to childhood indulgence. What can make a person so self-absorbed is they were given too much. We can enable our children to be spoiled. We can never say no to them, never correct them, give them whatever they want. That will cause them to be self-centered, spoiled little brats, little glory hogs. The result of the progression of fools will make people narcissists, that they keep doing things, and then they go into another sin, and then they go to another sin. They go into the whole hardening, The Bible calls them fools, but the hardening of the heart. Get very proud, arrogant. They don't repent. Another consequence of the sins of the fathers. If you have a narcissistic parent, many chances, especially if it's a man, well, both if it's man or woman, but the kids can learn how to operate like that because their parents are. And so it's the sins of the father coming on the children. And the last one, which I see happening so much now, is cultural-driven narcissism. It's all about you. Everything is about you. So the way of pride and self-exaltation is opposite of the way of God. God's way is humility and serving his people. The way of narcissism, it's all about me. I'll do it my way. I don't care who I hurt as long as I look good. It's absolutely anti-Christ. I'm going to give you some of this really quick. How can I tell if someone is a narcissist? Now, I don't like labeling people. You can't just call everybody a narcissist. But you can see some signs. And if they have a few of these signs together and there's no repentance or change, you can kind of see this narcissistic spirit, this proud spirit, boastful, mockers, all different names in the Bible it's called, but the lack of empathy and genuine concern for others. It's not normal if you don't care for other people. Everything's about them. Critical and judgmental behavior. Wants to be obeyed or pitied. Another thing a narcissist will do is if they can't control you through you taking their orders, they will pretend they're hurt and they've been so wounded, and they will control you through self-pity. Feel sorry for me. That's a good way to get control over you, is to have someone pity them. And they use this very, very skillfully. So they want to be obeyed or pitied or admired. Their marked attachment to roles involving praise, credit, or power. In other words, they seek positions where they can be admired. And that's why the ministry is so full of narcissists today, is that they are seeking positions of power that they can be praised. So if you put a preacher on a pedestal, that's the position they want. See what I'm saying? Especially in this hour. Satan is the original narcissist who demonstrated the traits of having a primary goal to be exalted and worshiped, to being a liar. A lot of these narcissistic people, they will lie to get what they want because they want what they want, and they're going to get what they have to get regardless of the ways they have to go about doing it. So many times they lie. Being lawless and rebellious. Being a schemer. Sometimes acting under the guise of righteousness, an angel of light. They will come across very spiritual. And this is why you have to know the fruits of somebody in their public life versus their private life. Because in private, the real person will come out. But in public, anybody can put on a show. And the Pharisees were narcissistic. I always say, don't trust people with robes. I'm really getting to where you got to beware of people that are wearing these robes, these dresses. Trying to portray a false image. Being a destroyer who takes as many people down with him as possible. This is what you have to know. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's out to deceive as many Christians as he can. He wants to destroy people, and he doesn't care who he destroys. So that's why you that used to be on fire for God, you need to say, all right, I've blown it. People around me have blown it. Don't let that stop you from pressing into God. Because the devil still got you on the fence. He's got you all upset with all these other people, but no, he's after you to get you lukewarm, to get you hurt, to get you offended. Off on the sidelines, you've taken his bait. So you have to turn around and say, they didn't save me. They're human. These churches that are failing you and failing us at this hour, they didn't save us. Come back to your first love. Come back to him. Come back to your first love. All these things are always going to be here. Narcissistic, proud, boastful, evil people are here. We have to learn to rise above it in our own personal life and not allow that to be an excuse. Throw away your excuse cards for serving God, because it doesn't work. When you stand before God, none of that will work, because he'll say, I gave you your roadmap and you didn't follow it. So he wants to go after targets. He tries to trap you. When you're hurt and you're wounded, he comes right after you then. That's when a lot of narcissists will come in your life, when you're weak, when you're hurting. And then they charm you and they're there for you. It's like that's what cults do. cults do after these young boys that want family. They want a community. They come right in there and they charm them. Couple more things from this book. Usually serves others only because of an underlying or hidden agenda. They always have a hidden agenda. When we're serving God, we shouldn't have an agenda. We're not climbing up the corporate ladder. We're just here to serve God. Let God use you the way He wants to use you. Narcissistic people are always comparing themselves amongst themselves. They always have to be better than. So to be better than you, they got to put you down. They're snobs. Think of the Pharisees. They were snobbish. Can't you imagine just seeing them walking the earth, just, I'm better than you, looking down at everybody. They're phony and they try to make themselves look better. They misuse their power. All the Pharisees and all the narcissistic politicians, they all give you a bunch of Hoya. You guys know my Hoya story. Hoya. Cow pies. Basically, Hoya, they tell you whatever they want to tell you to get elected. And then they basically do what the New World Order tells them to do. One last thing in this about narcissism. What do narcissists hate? They hate being ignored. Can you think about the Pharisees? They wanted to be put up. They wanted to be worshipped. So, boy, it really makes them mad if they're not honored and praised. They don't like being questioned. Don't argue. Some of these leaders, you can't ask them a question of why they do things the way they do. You can leave. It's either my way or the highway. They don't like being criticized. They don't like being disobeyed. They don't want to respect other people's boundaries. To me, and I'm just going to kind of go with what's coming up inside my heart, is the boundaries of people's finances and personal life. These people are ruthless. I just read an article how one of them that's been on all these television networks raising money for all these just got arrested for fraud. And I'm like, good, it's about time. All the stuff that he was doing in the name of God, using God's people, abusing God's people, he was just living off of them and not being honest with the government, doing anything right. And it's time. God is shaking things. And some of these narcissistic people that are just using God's people, they need to be brought down. And don't worry, God knows how to do it. So they don't respect people's boundaries. They especially these widow ladies, and they're telling them, if you do this, you give me this money, this is going to happen to you. These people are so thinking that these people are of God. They just do whatever these people, these men of God, say to do. But you have to know, some of these are not men of God. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't like coming in second, being told that they can't do something. Don't tell me I can't do that. That's what I've heard a lot of them say. Don't tell me I can't do that. Just watch me. Narcissists don't like to be challenged. Being told they can't do something. Having to follow the same rules as everyone else. They don't like not being the boss. Not getting their way. Not getting the attention they want. Being told they're wrong or at fault in any way. One of the things the narcissists fear and what hurts them is losing power. Narcissists like to be expected to fear things that represent losing power. They don't like to lose power, influence, or favor, since those are the things they desperately feel they must have. No matter the setting, however, the narcissist will be the one expressing general disdain for others, trying to be the boss, trying not to follow the rules, upsetting everyone else, lying, manipulating, and cheating, creating problems, trying to gain attention, admiration, or pity. It's really hard to live with narcissistic people. They don't flow. They cause chaos. They cause division and every evil thing. Someone in the Bible now, 3 John 1:9, Diotrephes, I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but 3 John 1:9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who, what did he do? Loves to be first. They have to be first. They can't be number two. They have to be number one, just like the spirit of Lucifer among them. He does not accept what we say. So I wrote down a few things about this spirit of that's on these leaders. They love to be first. They refused, here in Diotrephes, he refused to welcome the apostles to the church. He spread gossip about the true men of God. The false preachers can't stand the real preachers because the true men of God expose the false ones. He withholds hospitalities from other believers. He requires others to follow his poor example. And if they don't follow him, he excommunicates them. A lot of narcissistic people, you'll find they have no lasting friendships. Or if they don't, they have what they call flying monkeys, people that just do what they say and they're enablers. But they will cut you off in a second if you don't do what they say. Diotrephes was a power abuser. We have to call it what it is. There's many people in the ministry today abusing power. There's many politicians today abusing their power. Always has been, always will be. They have full of selfish ambition. They love to be in charge. The Pharisees are a good example of the narcissistic people in the Bible. They trusted in themselves. They viewed others with contempt. They were praying to themselves. God doesn't hear those kind of prayers. They were praying to themselves. They exalt themselves. They play the victims. Boy, narcissists, you have, if you know of any, you can feel so sorry for them. They know how to put on the self-pity and poor me and everybody's attacking me. Those wounds are pretty much justified by what they've done. So don't come running and rescuing a narcissist. Let them soak in it. Hopefully they'll, if they can, repent. But they play the victim to be the center of attention. They love to put on a show. Unsubmitted will, rebellious on the inside. They're hypocrites. That's why Jesus was not nice to the Pharisees. He rebuked them. He called them names. Called them snakes and vipers, didn't he? Because they would say one thing and they would do another. They had a public life, but in their private life, they were totally different. And that's not what we're all about.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.